Come on, you fucking one-eyed bastard! Come see me finish this white-haired little shit right in front of him!
Charlie held all the cards. Ryan, flattened against the bottom of the stairs, couldn't move up or out without being blown away. Abe was out of it, and Jack was done for. Christy and the rest of the group could be anywhere. It wasn't even a standoff. To try to get at Charlie, Ryan had to put his own life into jeopardy. Go out through the door and hope he shut the sticky before being ripped apart himself.
Come on, Norm! I take out this little... Looks like he's already chilled anyway. A couple more rounds shouldn't make much difference!
Ryan braced himself, deciding to come out fast and low, going straight into a slide, hoping to put one in the sticky before the Uzi took him out. Ryan kicked the door open and tumbled into the lobby. Charlie's lips were clawed back in a snarl of utter delight. The Uzi spat flame, but the bullet sprayed in a great arc over the ceiling as the blaster fell from the sticky's hands. A round stone rolled across the floor after it had smashed into Charlie's elbow. Out of the corner of his eye, Ryan could see a slight figure capering in the street, ragged clothes flying about its androgynous body, stooping to pick up and hurl another stone at Charlie. But the sticky was recovering, bending to grab up the Uzi with his other hand. Ryan realized that Darina's accuracy might simply have postponed his death rather than averted it.
You fucking Norm bastards!
His face shining white, staggering like the living dead in an old horror vid, Abe lurched toward Charlie with a jagged knife of glass in his hands. He loomed up behind the mutie and lunged at him with the makeshift dagger. The sticky turned at the last second and pushed at Abe, knocking him off balance. But the thrust struck home, the glass splintering as it drove into Charlie's stomach. Ryan steadied his blaster, ready for another shot at the sticky. But the moon finally vanished behind the clouds, and the old cinema was instantly plunged into darkness. Charlie was gone. None of them saw or heard anything of the yellow-haired sticky from that moment on. Ryan sat on the porch, reminiscing as he sipped a glass of buttermilk. It had been an odd time. Mildred had been able to help get Abe back properly onto his feet within a couple of days. Now the two of them were down by the stream, working on fixing the earth dam. JB was with them, stripped off to the waist, his body pale in the bright sunlight. Doc and Dean were helping each other replace a damaged blade on the windmill. From where he sat, Ryan could hear an occasional snatch of conversation. Christy had felt a little sick after a large lunch and was sleeping it off in their bedroom at the west side of the new homestead. Harold and Darina Lord had been over in a buckboard to visit and see the baby. Darina couldn't wait to tell everyone that she too was pregnant. The couple had taken over the neighboring spread that had once belonged to Helga. Now they'd headed off into the afternoon sunshine, the trail of dust from their rig following them across the open land. Christina was out back, hanging up some washing. Her baby girl Jenny was in a crib on the rear porch. Every now and again, Ryan heard the tiny voice and the soft reassurance of her mother. Christina hadn't forgiven Ryan for what had happened to Jack 2 months earlier, and he knew that she never would. Which was why it was time to move on.
I think we'll leave tomorrow morning.
Lying on the swing seat across from him, the white-haired teenager started awake.
Looking in my dream. Thought I was back in the bayou, fishing.
For 48 hours after the dramatic night on the ridge, Mildred had believed that she was going to lose her patient. The knife wound had penetrated one of Jack's lungs, and he had suffered an internal hemorrhage that had left him on the brink of the Black River. But he pulled through. Mildred calculated that he'd never be quite as fit as before, and would always tend to suffer from breathing problems in cold, wet weather, but he was alive.
I said that I thought we'd go tomorrow. We've stayed long enough. Maybe too long.
Know what you mean.
Christina thinks you came and...
Yeah, I know. Look, Jack, you know I understand. Her feeling the way she does. You came that close to buying the farm. She'd have been a widow, and Jenny would never have known her father. Of course she wants me to go.
You'd be always welcome here, Ryan.
Sure.
Wish Dean would have stayed a while with us.
His decision. I wanted him to stay. Maybe a year or so.
That's the way of kids, Ryan. Like I said, all of you, always welcome.
Who is...
Jack? Ryan? Could you come here a minute, please?
Ryan had his hand on the butt of the Sig Sauer as he and Jack stepped onto the back porch. As soon as he saw what was out there, he let go of the blaster. It wasn't needed. Christina was standing facing them, holding the swaddled, gurgling bundle that was her daughter Jenny. There were speckles of fresh blood on the woman's dress and on her hands. The corpse lay at her feet. The clothes were ragged and torn, showing pale skin through the holes. The head was covered in blood, from two gashes in the side of the skull. The weapon, a long-handled axe, was buried in the back of the neck, almost decapitating the figure. Despite all of the blood and the leaking puddle of brains, the matted yellow hair was unmistakable, as were the suckered hands, now relaxing in death. A slim skinning knife lay in the dirt of the yard, by the right hand. Ryan tucked a foot under his shoulder and rolled the body over, making sure who it was.
What? Charlie?
His eyes were glazed and the mouth sagged open. The dozens of tiny suckers on the protruding tongue were all slowly closing, like delicate pink flowers in the evening chill.
Said he was starving. I knew who he was from the hair. I just told him to go away.
Why not call us? We'd have taken him out.
I know, Ryan. I know what you do. He was starving. But he drew the knife to threaten Jenny, so I took the axe to him.
We'll bury him out on the other side of the stream.
Sure.
We've been talking, Christina. I think we'll be moving on at first light.
That's good, Ryan. Yeah, that's good.
The walls of Armaglass were already beginning to glow, and a faint miasma of gray mist was appearing at the level of the gray ceiling of the gateway chamber. Everyone was sitting in a circle, backs against the wall, facing inward. Mildred was close to JB, holding his hand in hers. Doc had his knees drawn up, the swallow's eye neckerchief already in his hand, ready to staunch the nosebleed he so often suffered from at the end of a jump. He caught Dean looking across at him and smiled at the boy, showing his oddly perfect teeth.
Make sure to keep your dreams as clean as silver, my dear young man.
Abe looks like he's ready to have kittens.
Ryan could feel the insides of his brain starting to scramble. The last thing he heard was Christy.
Good time the past few weeks, lover. I envy Christina what she's got. Husband and baby, nice home, be good. Be real good to see. One day, you and me, we can have this again. Just the two of us, together, lover.
The rest vanished into the blackness. And when Ryan opened his eye, he realized something had gone appallingly, hideously wrong. Deathland's Moon Fate is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2006, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan, Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Dolores King-Williams, Nanette Savard, Karen Carbone, David Coyne, Ken Jackson, Casey Jones, and Mort Shelby. Additional red shirts performed by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Vocal editing and graphic audio sound design by Brian Rogers, Christian Parent, and Nathan DeBoard. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. Additional original music by Brian Patton, Matt Webb, and Chris Rowan. Script adapted for graphic audio by Casey Jones. If you enjoy Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders. Keep listening for exciting previews of other graphic audio thrillers. In the Deathlands, the prevailing philosophy is survival of the fittest.
The muties have broken through!
Send them to hell!